Everybody says shalom. Okay, if you go to Israel, that will be the greeting that they will say. They won't say good morning, they say shalom. It means peace, right? And I already taught you, what is the theme of the year for our church this year? Christ our shalom. That is the theme of the year for our church. Amen. You know, shalom is a perfect peace. Amen. Now, perfect peace does not mean that there is no trials in life. Okay? Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You have trials. You have challenges. Right? But God says, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Amen? Hey, because Jesus is more than a world overcomer, you and I today are more than the world overcomer, because He has overcome the world. Amen, beloved of God. So I just want to encourage you, no matter what challenges that you're going through, you have already overcome that challenge. If you believe in Jesus, you are already a winner. That problem is a loser. You are the winner. Amen? Because Jesus has overcome the world. Right? Whatever problems that you might be dealing with, maybe some of you might be dealing with some kind of problem in your body. Maybe your body, maybe there's some pain in your body, and it seems like the pain sometimes might be overwhelming, like it's winning over you. It's like you're not the winner, because the pain sometimes can get pretty intense. So you feel defeated by this problem, right? But I want to let you know, beloved of God, that you are the one who is more than a world overcomer, and that pain, right, is already under Jesus' feet. Right? So you are already the winner over whatever challenges in your body that you might be experiencing. Okay? It's just a momentary thing. Before you know it, that pain is gone. It's no more. Right? And when that pain is gone, don't think like, well, you know, it's just a natural thing. No, when that pain is gone, that means you are receiving your healing manifestation right there. Right? You may not be in a church. You may not be falling on the floor. You may not be having a pastor laying hands on you. But when that pain is gone, right? Give thanks to the Lord, because you receive your healing anointing, your healing manifestation. Amen. By faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So congratulations. Every time that pain is gone, don't take it just like, well, you know, that's just how it goes, you know? Pain comes and pain goes. Well, when that pain goes away, right, it's because by Jesus' stripes you were healed, the Bible says. Give thanks to the Lord when that pain goes away. Well, what happens when that pain is there? Well, beloved of God, fix your eyes on Jesus when that pain is there. Because when you fix your eyes on Jesus, you will be in a supernatural realm. You no longer focus on that pain. You no longer focus on that problem. But when you fix your eyes on Jesus, Jesus becomes bigger than that problem. Jesus becomes bigger than that pain. Amen? As the result, before you know it, again you receive your healing manifestation. And then you can praise the Lord at all times. Amen? As you behold His eyes, you fix your eyes on Jesus more and more every day. Amen. And just give thanks to the Lord all the time, because the Lord is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endures forever, the Bible says. God is good all the time, and all the time God is so very, very good. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness and grace in our lives. How can we render enough thanks for all the goodness that you have blessed us with? So church, just be blessed and be encouraged. The Lord loves you. Amen. Everything is going to be okay in Christ Jesus. Amen. By the grace of the Lord has already given us that victory in Christ. all the victory that we need is found in Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait until the doctor's report is clear and then you begin to rejoice. You can rejoice right now. You can rejoice and give thanks to God right now. Do not postpone your rejoicing. Amen? Because that health blessings that you need is already given unto you. You can rejoice right now and praise the Lord and say hallelujah. Can I teach you a little bit of Hebrew? Because I started with shalom, right? The word hallelujah, the root is not an English word. Hallelujah is actually, the root is a Hebrew word. Hallelujah. And it's made up of two Hebrew words. The first one is hallel. And the second word is yah. Put them together, you have hallelujah. And then in English, we just make it easy. Hallelujah. but in the original language, it's made up of two words. Hallel. Say hallel.
Hallel.
Say yah.
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 Now put them together.
Hallelujah.
Now what's the meaning of hallel in Hebrew? It's not praise the Lord. That's not the first meaning. It means shine. Say shine.
Shine.
And what is the meaning of the word yah in Hebrew? It's the Lord. Remember? That's what we got Yahweh, right? Yeah. Yahweh, faithful one, you have shown us the way, right? Yes. Yahweh, remember? So that word Yah is where we got Yahweh, the Lord, right? So when we put the word Hallel, which means shine, and Yah, which means the Lord, together, what does that mean? Jesus, shine. Shine, Jesus, shine. Remember that song? Shine, Jesus, shine. So that is in essence the first meaning of the word hallelujah. And it also means praise the Lord. Yes, I'm not taking that away. Okay? Hey, class, you have learned something new today. Amen? You have learned the true meaning of the word hallelujah. Amen? It's again, hallel and yah means Lord shine. When you are in the dark, when you are in a situation that you don't know what to do, you don't even know how to pray anymore, what do you say?
Lord shine.
Hallelujah. Shine, Jesus, in this situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. You don't know what to pray, but you know how to say hallelujah, right?
Amen.
And before you know it, the light will shine in that dark situation. And all of a sudden, you see what you could not see before. And beloved, once the eyes of your heart is enlightened, kiss goodbye to that problem. What you need is the light of Jesus to shine over that situation in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God loves you so much. God wants to let you know. Cry out to me. You don't know what to say. Say, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. That means you're saying, Lord, shine over this situation, Lord. Lord, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Lord, hallelujah. Lord, shine over this situation. And then before you know it, you can see what you could not see before. And then you can find the answer that you're looking for. Anybody has ever trying to look for your item in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, you go to the bathroom, everything is dark, and then, I don't know, you needed something from your drawer. Man, it's hard to find whatever things that you're trying to look for when you're in the dark. Am I not right? But what happens when you flip the switch? Right? You open your drawer, you got tons of stuff in your drawer, right? Man, bam, right there. You're able to see what you could not see before. What you need is Jesus to shine over that situation. Amen. That's the word of the Lord for you. You don't know what to say? Cry out to me and say, Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, shine over the situation. And then you begin to do something different. Wow. And then you begin to have a different outcome. A good outcome. A better outcome. Amen. Hallelujah. So ask for that wisdom for you to see what you could not see before. Just by crying out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, shine. Jesus shines over this situation. God wants you to live a life where every day is full of peace, is full of the shalom peace of Christ in your life. I say to your body, I say to your mind right now, be blessed, be whole, be clean, be well, be in perfect harmony. Your mind, your body, in the name of Jesus. I speak blessing over your tummy. I speak blessing over your ears. I speak blessing over your eyes. I speak blessing over your teeth. I speak blessings over every part of your leg. I speak blessing over your feet. I speak blessing over your nerves. I speak blessings over your tendons, over your sinews, over your muscles, every part of you. I say, shalom, peace, wholeness, wholeness and life. Receive life of Jesus right now, being infused by the word of Christ in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. You are not guilty anymore. You are righteous. You are forgiven. Why should you not be healed? Nothing can withhold you from receiving your healing because Jesus already paid the price. It is your God-given right to receive the manifestation of your healing in the name of Jesus Christ. So receive your healing right now that you need. Receive your healing right now that you need. I want you to look at whatever negative reports that you may have been given by the doctor. I want you to see how all that report changed right in front of your eyes. Right now, in the name of Jesus, all the bad report has been turned around 180 degrees. All the reds become normal in the name of Jesus Christ. All the reds become normal in that report. No more reds in the doctor's report. In your health checkups, everything is normal. Everything is perfect in the name of Jesus Christ. This is yours because Christ has become your shalom peace. He is our shalom, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. In Jesus' name, receive. I'm preaching the gospel to you. Receive this salvation. Receive this healing. Receive the enlightenment of your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Again, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Keep on saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Over your situation right now.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah to the Lord. Lord, shine over my situation right now.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah. Cry out and say hallelujah, Lord. Shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Shine over our situation. Jesus, shine. Hallelujah! 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 Amen! Amen! Hallelujah! Church, let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Amen! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Hallelujah! Now, I'm going to teach you something that is very important. I'm teaching you how to enjoy divine health 24/7. This is a teaching that I taught back in 2012. So, it bears repeating, right? It's been what, 8 years? I haven't really taught this again. So I kind of want to teach you how to walk in divine health 24/7. This will change your life once it becomes a revelation. Alright? I'm going to teach you in a nutshell how to walk in divine health 24/7. By the grace of God, right? The Lord has blessed me this past 8 years since I preached that message, walking in divine health 24/7. Does not mean there's no lying symptoms in my body. Does not mean there was no pain. But I'm telling you, I walk in divine health 24/7. And what the Lord has given me, I'm passing that to you today, for you to be a blessing, and the Holy Spirit will make it clear for you and personalize it based on your unique situation. The first thing that you need to know about walking in divine health is to believe that you are already the healthy one. Okay? Well, I don't feel healthy. I feel very sick. The first thing you need to line up your mouth with the same confessions, right, of what the Bible is saying. Where did you get that? That you believe that you are the healthy one. You are the whole one. It's from John 14, verse 27. Jesus said, "My shalom." That means my health, my wholeness, I give unto you. And the Bible says, what God has given unto us, He will never take it back. So even when you fail, even when you just had a wrong thought, even when you make a mistake, that health is still yours. Because it's given by Jesus when He said, "My peace, my shalom, I give unto you." In John 14, 27. Right? Let that be a revelation first. Once you have that revelation, half of the battle is won. When you believe that you are the healthy one, in spite of what you feel, in spite of what the doctor report says, in spite of any lying pain, in spite of any lying symptoms that might be knocking on your door and try to negate what God is saying, you've got to believe you are the healthy one, no matter what. Because He has given you His shalom peace. 50% of the battle has been won. Now here's the challenge. Here's the other 50% of the battle. Right? Is to guard your heart. Because Jesus said, "Here's my peace, my health I give unto you, and I won't take it back." Right? I give it as a grace gift. But here is what you need to do. Here is your part, if you will. Right? Is to guard your heart. Because the next part of John 14, 27, after He said, "I give you my peace," "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now He cannot "let not" for you when He said, "You let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So the other 50% is our part, where we guard our heart. Right? How do we guard our heart, Pastor? Number one, right? You guard your heart by the Word of Christ. So make sure you have good New Covenant sermons that are full of the Word of Christ, and you meditate on the Word day and night. That's step number one right there to guard your heart, is to make sure you fill your heart and your mind with the word of Christ, right? As well as praying in tongues as much as possible. Because when you're praying in tongues, you are speaking the word of Christ. You believe and you speak the word by praying in tongues. And the good thing about praying in tongues, you don't have to use your brain. So you can still be listening to the sermon, you can still read your Bible and pray in tongues at the same time, and you can still, your intellectual mind is still going to absorb what the Word of God is saying while you keep on praying in tongues. That's number one right there, to guard your heart. And number two, right, is to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit. That's the second step to guard your heart, is to flow. The key word is flow. I want you to imagine rivers. The Holy Spirit, the picture of the Holy Spirit is like rivers. Anybody has gone whitewater rafting before? Have you seen beautiful rivers? Right? Clear water flowing. When you look at the rivers, when you look at the water, there is no mechanical patterns for the water. The water is not religious. The water is not dogmatic. The water is not mechanical, rules and laws and regulations, right? When you flow like rivers with the Holy Spirit, you begin to do the things that the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Some of you, for example, may have been sitting for too long, and the Holy Spirit may say, go take some walk outside, just for 15 minutes, whatever. Just enjoy some hiking or walking, whatever things that you enjoy doing. You are flowing with the Holy Spirit. So that's number two, to learn to flow. What is the Holy Spirit wanting you to do? Do it. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. Amen? Do it. Flow with the Holy Spirit, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you. And finally, here's a step number three to guard your heart. If the pain does not go away and the pain becomes worse, the problem seems to become worse, that's when the rubber meets the road. Okay? The final step to guard your heart is whenever the healing has not manifested yet in your body. In fact, you've done all those things. You've listened to the word. You have flowed with the Holy Spirit. But it seems like the problem is still there, or it seems like the problem is getting worse. The final step here is to train your senses, your five senses, to discern between good and evil, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. In other words, you want to discipline, child train your five senses, your natural body, to be in line with the Word of God by fixing your eyes on Jesus Christ. Let me just say it one more time. You need to guard your heart by training your body. The language that Apostle Paul uses is, I treat my body with discipline, right? Like a child training your body. And you learn to fix your eyes on Jesus during that time when the unbelief and the doubts and the fear may try to intimidate you. Well, it doesn't work. The problem is still there, or the problem seems to get worse. That's when you need to discipline your body, child train your body, for your five senses to be in line with the reality of Jesus, who is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. So you fix your eyes on Jesus, look at the cross, look at Jesus, and before you know it, the cycle continues until your healing fully manifests. You go back to step number one again. Go back to the Word. Remember, number one is the Word. What was number two? The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. You flow with the Holy Spirit. And what was the third thing? Train your five senses. What you see, what you taste, what you smell, right? To discipline your body to the reality of who you are in Christ by fixing your eyes on Jesus, who does not have any of that lying symptoms in his body. And as you behold Jesus, right, you become what you see. It's as if his health, his healing is transferred into your body as you fix your eyes on Jesus. Well, the pain is still there. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep on training your body to discipline your body to be in line with the reality of faith that you've already got it. Again, you are the healthy one. That's step number one. You are the healthy one. You've already got it. Amen? Beloved of God, may the Holy Spirit make this into a revelation for you, and that you also may enjoy divine health 24/7. Again, it does not mean there is no lying symptoms, but you will experience a stronger and stronger life, even in your physical body, just as your souls prosper. Because this is the will of God for you, that for you to be in good health. I pray that you be in good health, just as your souls prosper. That's the prayer in the book of 3 John chapter 1. I pray, beloved, that you prosper, right? And be in health. That's God's will for you, to be in health. God wants you to be in health. Amen. Just as your souls prosper. And by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Keep on focusing on Jesus, and your healing will manifest more and more and more. Right? Don't focus on the problem. Focus on Jesus. And let Jesus become bigger and bigger and bigger. And His light will shine in the midst of darkness for you. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good all the time and all the time. God is so very, very good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, church, are you ready to enjoy the main entree? Praise the Lord. So far, we have done part 1, part 2, part 3, and today, part 4, which will be a continuation. So, I hope you are keeping up with what the Holy Spirit is doing, because there are momentum of the Holy Spirit. It is so important to understand the Bible accurately within the proper context. You know, you cannot blame the manual when something does not work when you're doing your own thing. You know, have you ever bought like a device and you learn that the device is not working as you expect it to work, and you learn it's not because the problem with the device or the manual is because we just don't know how to properly operate that device. And the Bible is that manufacturer's handbook, God's manufacturer's handbook for your life. So it is so important to put a premium in understanding the Word. The Word is more important than keeping up with the latest facts and the latest news and the latest postings, the latest trends. What is the latest thing? You know, what's the hottest thing? What's the hottest movie right now? What is everybody talking about right now? That's not important. What's important is what the Holy Spirit wants you to focus on in the Word for your particular condition, for your particular challenge that you might be going through right now. The answer is in the Word of God. That's why we study the Word so meticulously. We study the Word so detailed, right? That so far, this is just part 4, and guess what? We're still on verse number 4 of Ephesians 1. Have you been to a church where, you know, the whole service dwells on one verse? Amen. This is part 4. Amen. So we'll be talking on verse 4 of Ephesians 1. I mean, after all these weeks, right, after all this time, we're still talking on verse by verse here on what the Bible is saying. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, part 4, right? So verse 4. From Amplified Bible Classic Edition. This is where you need to put your student hat. I'm getting to my teaching mode right now, okay? Even as in His love, He chose us, actually picked us out for Himself as His own in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for Him, and blameless in His sight, even above reproach, before Him in love. First, I want to let you know the word holy. Holy means to be consecrated and set apart for Him. So, what is the definition of being holy? It means to be consecrated and set apart for Him. In other words, God singled you out. In other words, you're not a dime and a dozen. You're not like the stones. You are gold. You are precious diamonds. Right? Dust and stones, they're a dime a dozen. Right? But you are not like that. That's what it means to be holy. You are special. You are precious to God. God sees you as the set apart ones, consecrated ones. That's the definition of holy. So holy, right? It's not like I don't drink or cuss or chew or go with those who do. That is the fruit of holiness. As the result of knowing who you are, that you are set apart, you are consecrated. You don't want some of the things that you used to do anymore. Some of the bad habits that you have, you know, whatever, you hate it now, you don't like it. That is the fruit of holiness. We want that. But the root of that is understanding the word holy means you are the consecrated ones, like diamonds and precious jewels in the eyes of God. That's what it means to be holy. And look at the second part. He also wants us to be blameless in His sight. Look at the asterisk there on the bottom. When you study the word blameless, it means without blame. Okay, that's pretty obvious, Pastor. Blameless class. What does it mean to be blameless? Without blame. Okay, that's very simple definition, but it's true to the Greek, to the original Greek there. Blameless means without blame. And not only that, it's without blemish. Wow. God wants you to be blemish free. Amen. And He says, also without fault. God wants you to be without fault. Amen. And He says, He also wants you without spot. That's another definition of being blameless. It's without blemish, without fault, and without spot. That's the definition in the Greek of the word blameless. Look at the other one. God wants you to be faultless. You are faultless. Remember that song that we sing? You are blameless. You are faultless. It's in the Bible. God wants you to be blameless, without blame, without blemish, without fault, without spot, and without fault. Faultless. God wants you to be faultless. So, He wants you to be without blemish, without fault, without spot. Now, the reason why I'm showing you this, because I'm going to cross-reference this, is exact wording, right? Without blemish, without fault, without spot. Let's look at the Bible passage. This is how you study the Bible. Let the Bible explain itself, right? It's okay to give commentaries, but the real potency of the Word is when you allow the Bible to explain itself. How to become without blemish? How to become without fault? How to become without spot? Right? Beloved of God, God wants you to be holy and blameless, the Bible says. Now, if you were like I was, when I read this passage, I begin to figure out, okay, God wants me to be holy, God wants me to be blameless, right? That means I need to figure out what I must do to make sure that I'm holy and to make sure that I stay blameless, without fault, without spot. That was the mindset that I used to have whenever I look at, you got to be holy, you got to be blameless. That means it's all behavior. But let's allow the Bible to teach us. What does it mean for us to be blameless in the sight of God? How do you become blameless? How do you become faultless? The Bible explains itself. This is Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 27. Right? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Did you see how the Bible explains itself? How the church can become holy and without blame. We already learned blameless means, one of the definition is without blemish, without spots, right? The Bible explains. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. In other words, beloved of God, what the scripture is saying here, Christ loved you, church, so much that he gave himself to you so that you might be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the word, and so that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I hope you see this verse in the light of the finished work of Jesus Christ. You become spotless. You become without blemish. You become without wrinkle. All because Christ loved you and gave himself to you. It's not what you do to become holy and blameless. It is Christ who loved you so much. He gave himself to you. It's all Jesus. It's all Christ. It's all because of him that you are today holy and blameless, without spot, without wrinkle, or any other such things. So, beloved of God, resolve in your heart from this day forward that you see yourself as without spot, as without wrinkle, as without blemish. From now on, be in agreement with the Word of God to believe that because Jesus loved you and he gave himself for you, not because of anything good that we have done, but because of his love for you, that today, church, you have become without spot. You are glorifying God whenever you walk by faith in agreement with the Word of God. Amen, beloved of God? Amen. So, do you understand Ephesians 1:4 now? When he said he wants you to be holy and blameless, I used to think, okay, what must I do to be holy and to be blameless? Or what must I do to remain holy and blameless in his sight? Well, I better make sure, you know. Again, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. Make sure I don't do this. It's not about your doing. It's not about the do's and the don'ts here. Because Ephesians 5 here has made it clear. Because Christ loved the church and gave himself to the church, to you. If you're a part of the church, right? You're the church. You know what happens? Because of that, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How many of you agree, when God finished the work, that he did it perfectly?
Yes.
So do you believe that you are perfectly, without spots, without wrinkles, without blemishes? Do you believe it's all because of Jesus, yes, not because of you?
Amen.
Now, you are glorifying God. You are saying, Lord, I humble myself. It's not what I do, but what you've done for me. And by your grace, O God, I stand. With my head held high, I receive your love. Can you do that, church? Even when you're not all that you're supposed to be, do you know that even in the middle of that, as long as you remember the word of Christ, as long as you still faithful, you don't give up, you don't quit. I already told you, Ephesians 1 is for the believers who are faithful, not for the believers who quit. It's for the believers who keep on, you know, holding fast to the promise of God, not giving up, right? In spite of your shortcomings, you continue to persevere and remain faithful. And you continue to believe, Lord, I believe I'm still without spot. I believe I'm still without wrinkle. I believe I'm still without any blemish. Because your word says so. It's not because of anything good that I've done, but because you love the church and you gave yourself to the church to present the church to himself, the Bible says, like a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. When we talk about the Lord and the church, it's like husband and wife. It's a serious matter because it involves a covenant. Like a marriage, there's a covenant there. This is not for quitters. This is for the faithful believers who don't give up. No matter how tough it gets in life, you don't give up. You continue to believe in Jesus Christ, who so loved you, church, and He gave Himself. He loved you until His last dying breath at the cross. When he said, "It is finished." And because of what he has done, he gave himself for you. Can you see yourself differently from today? You see yourself spotless, without wrinkles. Don't see yourself old, in other words, without wrinkles, right? That's what it means, right? Well, that's spiritual wrinkle, Pastor. No, it's not talking about spiritual wrinkle. That's talking about you don't see yourself old. You see yourself young, without wrinkle. That's what it means, right? Without wrinkle. Without spots, the Bible says. Can you see yourself without spots? You know what? You see yourself holy and blameless, the way that God sees you. Now, the devil does not want you to hear this message because the devil had old photographs of your past. The devil kept a memoir, like a museum. They keep a picture, old pictures of your life. And then he will flash those pictures in your mind whenever you're not fixing your eyes on Jesus. But what are you going to choose? Are you going to believe in the finished work of Jesus that is so perfect, that has made you holy and blameless? Or are you going to believe the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says? The devil is described as the accuser of the brethren. That means he will condemn you. He will bring you accusations of your past sin, what you have done in the past. Shame. Shameful things. Right? So, beloved of God, you want to glorify God. That means you magnify God above what the enemy, or sometimes from your own heart, your own conscience, the evil conscience. When it's not hearing the gospel, it becomes evil. So make sure you keep on coming to church. Make sure you keep on hearing the messages that is full of grace. Otherwise, your conscience will become dusty. Once it becomes dirty and dusty, you will find all kinds of stuff. Even when you're not doing anything wrong, your own conscience, when it becomes evil, will find something that you have not done. Right? And then you feel like, well, I'm not spotless. I'm not without wrinkles. I'm not without blemish. And then you begin to have hard thoughts against yourself. And it's just a matter of time before that will translate into hard thoughts against people around you. So, beloved of God, make sure, right, you hear the right gospel, the right message. Because once you believe right, you will live right. Once you believe right, you will live right. Once you see yourself the way that God describes you here in Ephesians 1:4, holy, blameless, without spot, without wrinkle, because Christ loved you, church, and He gave Himself for you. Right? Even when you're not all that you're supposed to be, even when you live a life that is full of doubts and fears and unbelief, in the middle of all of that, God is still seeing you righteous. God is still seeing you holy. God is still seeing you blameless because of Jesus, because of what His Son has done. As long as you don't look to yourself, you look to Jesus as your holiness. You look to Jesus as the one who blessed you with a life of without spots, without wrinkles, without blemish. Let the Word of God sink in today in your life. Amen, church? God is good all the time. And all the time, God is so very, very good. Are you blessed? Man, I wish somebody shared this truth with me when I was studying Ephesians 1:4, because for the longest time, I did not understand what it means to be holy and blameless. It's all back to my performance. It's all back to what must I do to be holy, or to remain holy, or to remain unblameable in His sight. There are times that, you know, I have winning streaks from some of my old bad habits, and I feel like God is so well pleased with me. Because it's been 20 days, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. So much peace. And then after that streak is broken, I feel down. I feel like, Lord, I'm not holy enough. I'm not faithful enough. You know, and stuff like that. But the Lord continues to draw me closer and closer to Him. And let me know, you can remain faithful to me by looking unto me as the one who will remain faithful to you no matter what. Amen. So to be a faithful believer is simply by looking unto Him as the one who will remain faithful to you. So, beloved of God, I just want to let you know, God loves you so much. That's how you become faithful, is by believing in Jesus, who will remain faithful to you even when you are faithless. Amen? Man, this is an amazing deep word here. Wow. Christ loved you, church. And He gave Himself for you. It's none of your doing. It's all of Christ. As the result, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, Life-Giving Church International. You are a glorious church. Amen? Amen. Not having spot. I declare to you, Life-Giving Church International, you are not having spot. Somebody says amen.
Amen.
I declare to you, Life-Giving Church International, you are without wrinkle.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody says amen. That means, Life-Giving Church International, you are young. Amen. Hallelujah. You are young. Hallelujah. And I declare, you are free from blemishes in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Where two agreed shall be done, right? Amen. Hallelujah. But that you, Life-Giving Church International, should be holy and without blemish. Hallelujah. We are blessed. We are so blessed.
Yes, we are.
Now, knowing this, that we are holy and unblameable in the sight of God, what is the natural product of knowing your new identity? You begin to have the fruit of that holiness. Am I not right? I just want to let you know that the true gospel will change your life in such a way that some of the old bad habits that you used to love, you no longer love them anymore. You have the fruit of knowing who you are. So, beloved of God, please understand, when you see your loved ones not bearing fruit of holiness, do not condemn your loved ones. Help them to know who they are in Christ, how much God loved them, right, and gave Himself for them, so that they can become holy and blameless. And once they have the revelation of who they are, automatically the fruit will come forth. And I'm going to prove to you from the scripture that holiness is a fruit. Holiness is a fruit. In other words, it's the fruit of believing right, that you are holy and blameless all because of His doing. You will bear fruit in your life, living a holy life. This is God's will for you, beloved. Even your sanctification. God wants you to live a holy life. God wants you to be set apart, holy. Amen. Right? You are a royal priest, the Bible says. You are a chosen race, a chosen generation, a holy nation, set apart from the world. And God wants you to know, right, that holiness is a fruit in your life. I'm going to show you the verse. This is from Romans 6:2, from New Heart English Bible. But now, being made free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of everlasting life. Do you like that? So, Pastor, you said holiness is a fruit. Where did you get that? Romans 6:22, New Heart English Bible once again. But now, being made free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit of sanctification. The word sanctification there is hagiasmos, same word for holiness. So the fruit of sanctification is the same as the fruit of holiness and the result of everlasting life. So, beloved of God, did you see that? Romans 6:2, that holiness is a fruit of sanctification. Again, but now being made free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of everlasting life. Man, it's a great thing to have the fruit of sanctification in your life. Right? Because what benefit did you get from some of the old bad habits that you used to do that you're ashamed of? The end of those things are death, the Bible says. But when you know that the Holy Spirit now lives in you, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live, the Bible says. Amen? So the fruit of sanctification is amazing. It will produce life and life more abundantly, more and more in your life. The fruit of living a holy life, a life that is set apart, a life that is not like the world, the life that is full, right, of the joy and the peace and the righteousness that comes by grace in Christ Jesus will cause you, right, to live life and life more abundantly. Amen. So I just showed you that holiness is a fruit here, right? So now that you know you are holy and unblameable because of Christ's doing, not because of what we do, the natural byproduct of that, once you have this revelation, once you have the right believing, you will begin to bear much fruit in your life. The fruit of holiness in your life. For example, somebody who used to enjoy vaping, for example, all of a sudden, once they know who they are in Christ, once they know the revelation of the finished work of Jesus, that they are holy and blameless because Christ loved them so and gave Himself for them, all of a sudden, the desire to do vaping is like Man, I hate this. Now what's that? That's called the fruit of sanctification. Do you understand? So beloved of God, it is so important to know who you are in Christ. And then it will produce the right living once you have the right believing. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, what if I sin? It says I'm free from sin, but I feel like there's still sin in my life that I'm still in bondage of. Some people might be addicted with vaping stuff. Some people might be addicted to depression. Some people might be addicted to fear. How come it says I'm free from sin, but sometimes I feel like sin is still having the dominion in my life? Again, beloved of God, right believing will produce the right living. Free from sin does not mean that you will never sin again. So don't beat yourself every time you miss the mark. The word sin means to miss the mark in the Greek, right? Don't beat yourself up every time you sin. You are still free from sin because you are still saved inside the ark. In the ark, you might still fall. Remember Noah's ark? Remember the storm outside in the world? Right? Everybody was dying out there in the world, right? What happens to the family that's inside the ark, that is in Christ Jesus? Do you think when the storm was so violent outside that maybe the ark tilted a bit, right? And then the people may fall and they stumble, right? They're still safe. They're still free from the sin outside and the death outside. So free from sin does not mean that we don't sin anymore. But free from sin is to let you know that God has already set you free from the dominion of sin in your life. That sin cannot dominate you anymore as you start to believe right, that you are no longer living in sin. How can you continue to sin when you already died to sin? How can you live in sin any longer when you already died to sin? You are now in the realm called righteousness. The righteousness that can never be forfeited by your sin. Because you are now sealed with the Holy Spirit. You might fall in the ark, but you are still safe in the ark. You might still sin in this realm of righteousness, but you will never be able to live in sin anymore. Because it says you are free from sin. And that word sin is a noun, not a verb. Okay? All right? The word sin there is a noun. Anybody knows what a noun is? People, place, thing. Okay, make it easy. People, place, or thing is a noun. What is a verb? Verb is an action, right? Every time we think about sin, what do you think that most people would think about? Oh, wrongdoing. Yes, right? As a verb, as an action. But here, you are free from sin there. Look it up. It's a noun. It's not a verb. In other words, you are free from this prison called sin. You are no longer in this prison called sin. God has set you free into the realm called righteousness, the kingdom of His dear Son, right? And so once you believe right, you begin to have the fruit of sanctification in your life and the result of everlasting life in your life. So don't worry about the fruit. Have you ever seen an apple tree? And then you kind of wonder, man, it's been 3 days, tree, you know, you kick the tree, right? Hey, where is the fruit? You don't do that, do you? The fruit will come forth effortlessly. The fruit of sanctification, you don't worry about the fruit. It will bear fruit once you hear the gospel to let you know, beloved of God, Christ loved you, church, and He gave Himself to you. So make sure you hear more and more the message that's full of the love of Christ. Make sure you hear the message that's full of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the fruit of sanctification will automatically come forth. Amen. Hallelujah. When you hear about the love of Christ and His grace in your life. Alright? Now, this is, I'm going to show you the last slide. This is going to be the last slide. Same verse, Ephesians 1:4, but it's from the Message Bible. Okay? Long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Man, this is the spirit of Ephesians 1:4, beloved of God. Long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love. Church, you are, the Bible says, the focus of His love. The Bible says, long before He laid down earth's foundations, beloved of God, He had us in mind. So Life-Giving Church International, you're not here by accident. Life-Giving Church International, the Bible says, He had you in mind, and He had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Look at the beautiful translation here. We are whole and holy, not by our own doing. We were made, passive tense, we were made whole and holy by His love. We are whole and holy, not by our own works, but by His love. Isn't that good news, beloved of God? And we are the focus of His love even before the world began. The Bible says, wow, that is amazing. That is amazing. How can we talk enough about the love of Christ? How wide and long, how high and deep is the love of Christ for me. So church, the more you hear how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ for you, and you remember that you are made whole and holy by His love, you will begin to have the fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life in your life. Amen. So beloved of God, resolve to have the right believing by hearing the right message that reminds you of Jesus Christ and His finished work at the cross. And that love is what made you whole and blameless, the Bible says. Without spots, without wrinkle, without blemishes, or any other such things. That's how much Jesus loves you.